Hello and welcome to the HMEB podcast. I'm your host, David Cuff, the executive editor of HME Business, your source for news, trends, and insights into the home medical equipment industry. Today, we're talking about CMS's Round 2021 announcement. Or is that a lack of announcement? It's tough to tell, and here to clarify it is Tom Ryan. He's the president and CEO of the American Association for Home Care. Tom, how you doing?
Good, David. How are you this morning?
I can't complain. So, Tom, let's start with explaining what the announcement was. What did CMS say last week?
Well, Tuesday we had two announcements. First of all, the long-awaited proposed rule came out, which addressed the non-bed areas and non-contiguous areas and non-rural areas. That has been over at OMB for many months, so we have been anticipating that. And then we also received, separate for the proposed rule, the announcement that CMS has decided to not include the 13 DMEPOS product categories in the 2021 round of bidding. As you're probably aware, we have been advocating for quite a long time, since really the early stages of the pandemic, that this was not a time to move forward with the competitive bidding program. We felt that the capacity of the DMEPOS providers should be at an all-time high. You shouldn't be taking capacity away, which is what the bidding program would do. So we have been working with the agency, trying to do our best to convince them to pause the program for at least a year or till the end of the public health emergency, whichever period is longer. So that was our ask. And then when we saw that there was going to be no inclusion of those product categories, yes, we were quite surprised. Overall, I think it's a win for the industry. You have stability. You have the ability to have these HME suppliers and 130 CBAs nationwide who can continue to provide service to Medicare beneficiaries. So that's positive. And again, I think the fact that there were no expected savings probably indicates that the bidding and the bidders did a good job of bidding smart. And our next goal now is to verify what the rates will be in this three-year period. I will say that we had a call yesterday with CMS, and we did find out, which was not really in the first announcement, that the CPI increases will go for 2021 and beyond. So we will have at least a CPI increase on those adjusted fee schedule prices. And certainly the 50-50 blended rate will see the CPI increase as well on the adjusted rate. So that's positive news.
You said this isn't a win for the industry. And I think it's good to hear that. And I know that sounds silly, but I think it's just that the announcement that CMS was basically punting on these 13 categories kind of struck everybody as weird, because it's been on such a dogged quest to, you know, to get blood from a stone. And you had said that, you know, the bidders had bid smart. And I think that it's maybe also that we've reached the floor, that there's only so much a provider can cut before it just becomes untenable. Was that kind of what happened here?
Yeah. So again, as I mentioned, again, we were quite surprised but happy, but we'll have 3 years of stability. And again, happy to find out that there will be at least a CPI increase for 2021 and beyond, and that's helpful. But one thing we really would like to do is get some price transparency. I think we had that discussion yesterday with CMS. We had a high-level meeting with CMS with Jason Bennett, the director of pricing and coding over there. He's the one that took Lawrence Wilson's position. And we spoke to the team and really believe that we need to see price transparency. And we've requested that we get to see what those calculated SPAs were for the 13 product categories in the 130 SBAs. So that request is in. And I think if the industry did bid smart and this was the what the market bared, we need to see what those rates are, and we need to determine how we can get to those rates. You just, you know, again, don't want to have it one way that you only go down. If in fact market showed you that the prices need to increase, we want to find that out. I don't know whether that's the fact or not, but there were some basic tenets of the program that changed. One of them was the maximum bid or the clearing price. So that clearing price alone from the median bid could have made a difference. I think the surety bond took a lot of speculative bidders out of this round of bidding. Yeah. And keep in mind, these bids were done in October of 2019. And so they were done pre-pandemic. Now, if you think about where we're at, we have a whole different cost structure. And that's what's concerning.
Yeah.
So it's great that we can have all of our providers continue to provide Medicare to the many, but we got to get the rates right. And I'm not quite sure CPI will be adequate, but we're in the process of trying to get some price discovery.
Boy, you know, you said a mouthful right there that I completely blanked on the fact that, yeah, these rates have been set before everybody was having to try to figure out how to completely reinvent their workflows and how they handle equipment and all that kind of stuff. Here's a question. Will CMS ever bid competitive bidding again? When this whole program first started, even though everybody was protesting it and trying to stop it or change it or whatever, at least there was like a calendar. You knew that they were going to rebid, what was it, every 3 years, and that there was going to be a cyclical nature to this. But with this, it's entirely open-ended. There was no announcement made about any future rounds. Where do we go from here?
Maybe the point of that these product categories have no more room to go to have a savings. And in the regulation, if CMS doesn't achieve savings, they don't have to include those product categories in the bid program. So my thought would be, let's get price discovery. Let's see where they should have been. And let's get the rates up during this three-year period, and then they'll make a determination whether they want to include those product categories in the next round. That's 3 years from now, but I do think we probably reached the floor, and that's a reality check. And I think at least you're going to have 3 years, and knowing that all HME providers, 130 CBAs nationwide, can still have access to building the growing Medicare market. And that's good. That's very good for the industry, and it's very good for the patients we serve. And the proposed rule, I think, was very, very encouraging because, as you're probably aware, we currently have the 50-50 blended rate in rural areas, and we have the 75-25 blended rate in rural areas. They are tied into the public health emergency now, and CMS had kept those rates in during the period of time of when they paused the program, but now those blended 50-50 rates will be permanent. So rural non-CBAs, 50-50 blended permanent rates, very, very positive news. Non-contiguous, non-CBAs, again, we'll get the 50-50 blended rate. The one area that we do have some concerns with, and we went on record with them yesterday, and we'll certainly do that in our comments, is the non-rural, non-CBAs, maintain the 100% adjusted rate. And currently, again, because of the public health emergency, those rates, they're receiving today a 75-25 blended rate. So we will more than likely, we will in our comments say we don't agree with that, and then we'll probably likely have to work in the next Congress to get those rates in non-rural, non-CBAs back to the 75-25.
I want to get more into the proposed rule, but I did want to ask a question going back to the round 2021 announcement. This question covers both. And that is, what happens with this election? If there's a new administration that comes in, there's likely going to be a change in HHS CMS. Do you worry that if there is a change, that because there's been sort of a cultural desire to see competitive bidding continue within CMS, that they will try and keep it going? Or do you think that they're acknowledging that they've found a floor?
Yeah. The contacts we have at CMS work, the career folks, the Jason Bennett, who's the director, Tiffany Swagger, who we spoke with yesterday, the deputy director, in a new technology and coding pricing group that oversees these the competitive bidding program. They oversee the CBIC. So I'm confident that you know, the changes at the top on the political side are not going to have any effect currently on the fact that they've pulled the products from the bid program. So I don't expect a new HHS secretary to come in and put these products back in the bid program. We do have a 3-year period of time where they're out, and we'll have to use that 3-year period of time to get rates that are appropriate.
And then getting back to the proposed rule, so now obviously there's a 60-day comment window. I think it's 60 days. When does that start and when does it end?
I think it just hit the Federal Register a day or two ago, and we have till January 4th to get our comments in. And Kim Brummett, who leads the regulatory portion of AA Home Care, has got a very talented group of volunteers, and they're going through the rule. It's 211 pages, and they're putting comments together now.
And is this one of these situations where you want the providers out there in the industry to help submit public comments in order to buttress the industry's asks?
Yeah, I mean, all comments must be read. So certainly, the agreement and the 50-50 blend is a positive, and we certainly concur with their proposal, and we'd like that to be in the final rule. But more importantly, I think we probably need to go on record as an industry that the non-rural, non-CBs maintaining the 100% adjusted rate is problematic. And particularly, we've seen now, access during a pandemic is key. And that 75-25 rate has made that possible. And I think, again, since we're dealing with rates currently that are based on an old program, we need to make sure that our you know, industry advocates for the at least the 75-25 blended. But yes, comments would be helpful. And as we get further along in the process, we will certainly be putting out some key bullet points. In fact, if you saw yesterday's AA Home Care Insider, we certainly had some bullets about what was in that rule.
Okay, and then there are two categories that did get a bid, these two over-the-counter brace categories, and these are, of course, new additions to the bid program. For those providers, how did they proceed, much like previous rounds?
Well, yeah, I mean, the interesting thing there is the disparity in the prices, and we're looking at all the spas in those product categories. A large amount of our membership are not in those product categories, but we're reviewing them now. I think I saw examples of, you know, an L code, and the same L code was $220 in Arizona, yet it was $1,200 in California. I mean, that just the disparity because of the demographics does not seem to make sense to us. There was also areas where they didn't see savings, so those contracts would not be awarded, and we'd be going back to the fee schedule. So, you know, I think there was 127 CBAs for, you know, over the off-the-shelf back braces and knee braces, and it appeared they awarded contracts in some CBAs, but not others. So I think that, you know, the ones where they awarded the contracts to, they're tied in for the next 3 years. But we certainly have to question methodology when we see such a great disparity in the prices.
These price swings are super wide, and I guess, is there anything that can be done to change this, or is the horse out of the barn?
Yes, the horse out of the barn. It appears that they expect to save $600 million, and they're in the process of offering contracts to those CPA to providers in those CBAs. But I do think that we, and again, we're putting an array of the prices across all the CBAs. I do think we have to question the methodology because of this disparity in the swings in the prices. So more to come on that. Again, typically knee braces and back braces are not the makeup of products that most of our members, are involved in. But I certainly need to look at the disparity and question that.
Did the inclusion of those categories, did that come out of the whole Operation Brace Yourself? Do you think that was the impetus for including those items, or am I just kind of spitballing?
I think that MedPAC recommended this, and there was certainly ability to comment to MedPAC. We did that. We heard their concerns. So when you're in a MedPAC report and they're recommending the product category go to CB, it's going to go to CB. So again, CMS has said in the past that they think that competitive bidding controls fraud and abuse. I don't particularly think that's the case, but you can speculate all you want there on that one, David.
Gotcha, gotcha. Last but not least, I guess, where do we go from here? You know, it sounds like it's people need to submit public comments on the proposed rule, and apart from that, it's basically steady as she goes. Is that, am I really saying that after a CMS competitive bidding announcement?
It's steady as she goes. It's knowing that you've got stability with a 50-50 blended rate that's permanent, at least proposed permanent in the rule. I don't see them pulling it back. We're only going to support that. You do see at least a CPI increase, and again, 3 years of having any willing providers being able to provide these 13 key product categories. And we are on the record with the agency about price transparency. And if we get that and see there are products that potentially should see an adjustment, we'll do what we can do within the agency to try to get an adjustment. So certainly one of the things we need to do is work with the next Congress and look to get in legislation the 75-25 blended rate. It appears that CMS is tipping their hat in the proposed rule, noting that they think they should maintain a 100% adjusted rate. We will go on the record, and I hope industry will go on the record, that it should be 75-25, and possibly the agency will, in their final rule, will listen to that industry and change that. But we have to be prepared, I think, to also work on this legislatively.
Well, Tom, I don't know what to do with myself. I think this is the first time in the entire time I've been editing this magazine that I've actually felt kind of good after a CMS competitive bidding announcement.
Yes, no, I would agree. And I think most of the public companies saw a bump. The markets responded positively. I've heard members respond positively. And, some are concerned about the rates because, they expected to see an increase. I don't know what if there would be an increase, but all we can do is ask and try to find out what the rates really ended up being. All we know is that CMS said they didn't see significant savings. So that's a question to be answered if we do get to see the prices. At this point, that's just a request that's in. I think all in all, very good news in my opinion, and I think most feel the same way.
Gotcha. All right. Well, Tom, thanks very much for stopping by the podcast.
Thank you, David. Always a pleasure. You have a great day.
You too. Thanks again to Tom for stopping by the podcast. And you can find resources about competitive bidding and how to provide public comments and all that kind of stuff, I'm sure, over at the American Association for Home Care website. That's ahomecare.org, ahomecare.org. Don't forget to rate and review the HME Business Podcast. And please, if you haven't already, make sure to click the subscribe button so that you get every new episode. Remember, you keep listening and we'll keep posting. And if you want to stay on top of everything that's happening in the industry, make sure to check out HME-business.com and subscribe to eSource, our weekly e-newsletter service there. And if you haven't done so, make sure to subscribe to the print magazine there as well. Again, that's HME-business.com. Of course, you can follow us on social media. We're at HME Business on both Facebook and Twitter. And we've also just launched a LinkedIn page, so search us up over there. Also, I'm at Postacute News on Twitter, and I'm on LinkedIn as well, probably a little too often. Lastly, if you have any feedback, suggestions, or requests, don't be afraid to reach out to me via Twitter. Again, that's at Postacute News, or by email, DKOP, P as in Paul, F as in Franklin, at 1105media.com. That's DKOPF at 1105media.com. Thank you all very much for listening. We'll keep covering compelling HME topics like this one around 2021. Guess it's sort of happening. Just amazing. Anyway, but for now, goodbye until the next HMEB podcast.